I'm Dale Behan, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Western Company of Texas. You're in the oil and gas business. You know how important it is to transfer water efficiently and timely to your completion job. That's where the Western Company of Texas can step in and be your partner. We've earned the reputation here in the Barnett Shale as a premier water transfer company because of our dedication to quality and service. We have the largest inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit any and all of your water transfer needs. Plus, we can work with your team to secure water as well as rights of way. And finally, I can promise you that we will always be ready to go 24/7. So give us a call at 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434. We have locations in Cleveland, Fort Worth, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Give our dedicated water transfer team a call at 940-648-3434. The Western Company of Texas, the guys with the green pumps.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, we want to direct you to our radio website, and oh, how we love hearing from all of you. It is eradiosports.com, eradiosports.com, or join us on the wonderful world of Twitter, Twitter/eradiosports. And as we get ready for our next segment, always going to be fun, especially right here in the state of Texas, talking some Texas football and Longhorns. Our good Longhorn friend is Steve Habel. He is one of the contributing writers with Horns Illustrated, and he's a multifaceted guy. He also writes for CyberGolf.com. So we're going to kind of mix things up, talk a little Texas football, and also teeing it up with some cyber golf. Steve-O Habel, how are you?
Hey, Alyssa. Thanks for having me on again.
It's great to be along with you. And of course, we've not had a chance since you were out at the Masters earlier this month. Kind of want to catch up and pick your brain on that. How was that experience and what was that like?
You know, Alyssa, that was my first time to Augusta National, and I really enjoyed being there and seeing everything in person. Everything that you've heard about Augusta is exactly true. The colors are more green, the hills are higher and harder to walk up and down. And it was an amazing couple of days that I spent over there.
Well, it certainly was an amazing just to watch the entire tournament. Of course, such an emotional win with Phil winning it all. That was his third time that he claimed the green jacket, his fourth major title. But the big storyline and the big buzz was, you know, Tiger Woods, after his 5.5 month layoff, you know, he was going to make his big return. Were you surprised, Steve, being there, that the reception was so warm, so welcome, and that there wasn't a lot of hecklers, or there wasn't any from what we could tell?
Tiger's reception, you know, everybody was real cool about Tiger being there. That was a great place for him to come back because, you know, everything is pretty controlled at Augusta National. I was able to walk with Tiger for his last three holes of his practice round on Wednesday, and I could tell he was going to have a great week. I mean, he was really hitting the ball well, you know, and that carried over to the first couple of days. Then he struggled a little bit the final 2 days, but the guy's just an amazing golfer. It was just good to see him back on the golf course.
Well, I ask you and I say, you know, were you surprised as far as how well he was received there? But what about his finish? I mean, a fourth place finish at the Masters after such a long layoff, and you understand the sport of golf. I mean, it's all about staying in rhythm, especially, you know, you have a layoff like that, your short game's going to go. But really, I mean, although he kind of struggled those last 2 days, it is remarkable just how he has done.
Well, he's a one-of-a-kind golfer. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see anything like him again. He's got talent to spare, and talent when he doesn't even practice a lot. But he had played Augusta half a dozen times coming up to the tournament, so he was ready for it as best he could be. You know, a lot of things on his mind, but it's pretty amazing that a player like that, off all the stuff he had going on off the course, could block out and still finish fourth in probably the most prestigious golf tournament in the world.
Well, after a two-week break, of course, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, they were back at it earlier this week, of course, starting things off at Quail Hollow. Poor Phil Mickelson. What happened on Wednesday? He had to withdraw from the program after playing, what, six holes because he had a little bit of a tummy ache. He was dehydrated. What's going on with our Phil? We love our lefty.
He had a little bit of a stomach virus, I believe. You know, he's had a lot of excitement going on in his life and, you know, off the course as well. I mean, we all wish Amy well. I thought it was pretty funny, the stories that have been circulating this week about Phil taking his daughters to the Krispy Kreme donuts there in Augusta, wearing his green jacket, and driving up to the drive-thru. That's pretty funny stuff. But only Phil could get away with that, I guess.
Yeah, I have to ask you one more thing about the Masters. I mean, that was, I started things off talking about that it was such an emotional Masters win. That embrace, I mean, it just really pulled at your heart. That was just so fantastic to see Phil and Amy there and then his kids all around him. It was just one of those moments that we certainly needed. It was so refreshing after all that all of us golf fans have gone through this year with the whole thing with Tiger Woods.
Well, if you believe in karma, then that was really a situation where you saw good karma come back to Phil. He needed it. I mean, he's been through a lot. His family's been through a lot. You know, he's been known to be a great family man and a fellow left-handed golfer like me. So we got to like Phil a lot.
We're talking to our good friend, that is Steve Habel. Of course, he's with Horns Illustrated. He also is with CyberGolf.com. Before we start talking about the Texas Spring Game, hey, what kind of stuff have you guys been putting in some of those issues, whether it's Horns Illustrated or CyberGolf?
CyberGolf is a huge golf web portal. It's a 2.1 million unique hits a month, and so we put all kinds of good golf course reviews and golf news in there, along with the social networking type stuff. You know, Horns Illustrated covers Texas sports from cover to cover, and we're excited about the baseball team. They've won 17 straight coming in this weekend, and they look like they're poised for a run into Omaha again, maybe.
Yes, Texas having an amazing run with their baseball team. Let's talk about and take a closer look at the Texas Spring Game. Give us a recap of that. What was your impressions and what stood out to you the most, Steve?
Well, Texas made a real big emphasis on running the football this year. And they literally ran the ball the first 11 plays of their spring game between the two squads. Garrett Gilbert, who's coming in to take over for Colt McCoy next year, or this coming year now, he was sharp. Carried over from the Alabama game, but he's never started a college football game, but he looked like he was ready to take charge, and he completed 10 of 13 for 135 yards and three touchdowns. But he's not going to be asked to carry the team like McCoy did last year. They're going to run the ball more, kind of have a grind it out type of an offense rather than a flash and flare offense.
And as I understand, Coach Mack Brown, after the game, I mean, he had high praise for him. And you heard you rattled off, Steve, you said 10 of 13, 165 yards for three touchdowns in the spring game. I guess the question that I have to ask is, it really sounds like the team has really embraced him and is trusting him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good kid. I mean, he came in with high marks, and everybody knows that he can play. We saw that in the national championship game, the way he rallied the team and almost led them to a win until, you know, right at the end, they had some breakdowns. And you know, he's a really talented kid, big, strong fella. And I go on a limb and say that Garrett Gilbert does not stay at Texas for all 4 years. He will be gone after his junior year at Texas.
Well, I have to ask you, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer. You know, he said his stat line, it was so impressive in that particular game that it sounds like he's got a lot of maturity. The team is trusting him. But defensively, how were the guys? I mean, they didn't harass him like the Alabama game did, right?
No, but, you know, Texas defense is going to be fine. They've got, you know, Will Muschamp is doing a great job on the defensive side of the ball. If anything, they'll be better than they were last year. They've got the guys they have returning, Sam Acho, Keenan Robinson, three-fourths of the starting secondary will be back. They've really got a team that's poised to keep people from out of the end zone. And so Texas won't have to score a lot of points to win games, but that doesn't mean they won't score a lot of points. They're just going to beat people up on defense.
We're talking Texas football, that's right, with Horns Illustrated Steve Habel, who's along with us. And always interesting, you know, when you have this spring game, because, you know, the coaches, they'll hold out some of those players that might have injuries. Now, what does the injury situation look like going into the season? I guess John Chiles, he's got a hamstring issue?
There's a few injuries. I think they're most worried about Mason Walters. He'll be a sophomore offensive lineman. I think he would be starting now, except for the fact that he had a foot problem that lingered from last year. Norton, the middle linebacker from last year, hurt his neck. He's still up in the air about his availability for the coming year. And Blaine Irby, their tight end, who was really good as a freshman and in the first two games of his sophomore year, had a hyperextended knee injury a couple of years ago against Rice. He's still not back to anywhere near playing football, and they would love to have him. But besides that, it's just little nitpick injuries. I think they'll be ready to go by the fall.
What about the running back situation with Cody Johnson? I understand hamstring, and also running back Vondrell McGee.
Well, Cody is known for not being 100% physically, and that's what's kept him from staying out of the starting lineup. McGee was also hampered by a hamstring, but he took a sidestep a couple weeks back here when he was picked up for driving while intoxicated in Austin. And so he's going to miss the first game no matter what. He's got plenty of time to recuperate that hamstring injury now.
Again, we are talking Texas football, recapping the spring game, and also getting an injury report. Steve Habel always providing some great stuff for us right here on the Big East Sports Show. We want to take time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor, and that is our friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. It is interesting, too, I guess, how are they going to use, since I had talked about earlier, the running back situation, how are they going to plug in Chris Whaley? How will he work in? I understand that he's been a little bit overweight, and Mac Brown would like for him to lose about 25 pounds.
Yeah, Whaley's not going to be able to lose 25 pounds. He's playing at 245 right now. Whaley has got a lot of power. He's got a straight-up running style, and he takes a lot of hits. But he usually wins those confrontations. He's still got some maturing to do. He'll get his snaps in there, all like the Cody Johnson mold. But I think that the season will start with Trey Newton as their main running back, with McGee when he's back, and Fozzie Whitaker, who also kind of tweaked the hamstring in the spring game. Back, those would be the main backups. Whaley is still, I'd say he's probably a little bit, maybe half the season away from really being an impact player.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the name Fozzie Whitaker. What about also Trey Newton? I understand these guys were kind of ho-hum, you know, 43, 13 yards respectively on the stat sheet, but what kind of projection do you have anticipating going into the season next year?
Well, I think Texas is really determined to run the ball this year, so they're going to get an... I'll go way out on a limb here, too, and say that Texas has a running back that will gain 1,000 yards this year. They're going to hand the ball off. They're going to go under center more with their quarterback to give those guys a little bit of a downhill running start, which they haven't had in the past 3 or 4 years. So, you know, Newton can run the ball. He's really got some talent. He's got some breakaway speed. Same thing with Whitaker and McGee when he's healthy. So I think we'll see a different type of an offensive scheme from Texas this year to a point. They don't really have to pass the ball around the yard to beat people with that defense they have. So, at least the games will be shorter. We'll be out of there quicker than they were in days.
Steve Habel is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We are quickly getting ready to wrap things up. Tell us, too, as far as your special teams, what does that look like?
Well, they lose just about everybody on special teams. They lose their kicker, and they lose their punt returner and Jordan Shipley. So they've got some holes to fill with that. But I think they're fine. I mean, they've got kids in behind those guys. Justin Tucker will do the kicking, John Gold will do the punting, and they've got basically everybody trying out for the return spot. So.
The million-dollar question as I get ready to sign off with you is Colt McCoy, of course, being selected in the third round of the NFL Draft 2010. He was the 85th pick overall going to the Browns. How surprising was that?
Well, I don't think it was surprising that McCoy went to the Browns. I think it was surprising he lasted to the third round. But everybody kind of backed up, you know, Clawson, from Notre Dame, backed up out of the first round to late in the second. Even some other guys backed up. But I think it's been said that by a lot of experts believe McCoy will be the first quarterback in this draft to lead someone to a Super Bowl. He's heady, he's talented, and I think that we look forward to seeing what he can do at this next level.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Steve Habel. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Where are you off to today? I understand that you're in the back of a van going to Alabama.
Actually, I'm on a golf travel trip to the Gulf Shores of Alabama and Orange Beach down here. We're going to see 3 or 4 golf courses and write about them for Fiber Golf. So take an eye and keep an eye out for those stories on that website, please.
Well, you have a very exciting life. We look forward to catching up with you. Perhaps we'll talk some Texas baseball here. You guys just continue to roll right along. TCU is also playing very well, too, here in Fort Worth.
That's what I hear. I haven't seen those guys. I actually saw Texas live last week. They looked unbeatable when we saw them, but, you know, that's always can change. It's a drop of a hat. So, they look very strong on this.
Very good. That was Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated and CyberGolf.com. Steve-O, thank you so much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Stick around. Jason Peter is going to be joining us with our Under the Helmet segment. We'll be right back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.